So with that, the Lord's Supper is a very special time in the life of a church because it's a time of remembrance. As we've just gone around the room just a few moments ago and talked about things that we're thankful for or things that we love the Lord for, then you also see a time of remembering these kind of things, looking back some over 50 years or more. And the Bible is clear that God never wants us to forget some things. And one of those things is the communion table. One of those things is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an interesting study because it actually goes back to the Passover. It goes back to the Passover. Then you have Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. And then you have 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where it's told to the church and given as the church ordinance. And then in the portion of Luke 22 that we are going to read here in just a second, you'll also see that Jesus says, I will not partake of that again until the kingdom. And so we have all these interesting things going from Old Testament all the way to New Testament to remind us what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. It goes back to the Passover. What did he do at the Passover time? But he delivered Israel from the bondage of sin, from the bondage that they were in under Egypt. And so what did Jesus do at the cross? He delivered us from sin, and he delivered us to have a life of victory, and it's in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we think about the Lord's Supper, let's read a few of these passages back and forth here so that you can see what God was talking about in the old that he fulfilled in the new that was transported over into Jesus and now becomes a part of our church. Look at chapter 22 of Luke for just a moment. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after the supping, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so I've titled this, the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. A testament is kind of an easy, hard thing to think of, and kind of an easy thing too. But a testament is actually a will. You know, I hope you have a will. Everybody needs a will. And Jesus had a will. The New Testament was his will. The will doesn't go into effect until the testator dies. That's a strange word, but it's a legal term. And until the testator, Jesus is the testator of the testament. And so with his death, the will was put into place, and that New Testament is what we have as a promise from God for our inheritance. Aren't you glad that you're a child of the King? Yeah. For we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And everything that he has and will have, we share in that when we get to heaven. So there's more here than what meets the eye. We have Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, willing to share some of that with us when we become adopted into his family. And so, we have great, great opportunities to love the Lord, to remember what he's done, and understand how it's all been appropriated to us. Now, some denominations teach that the Lord's Supper is a way to receive Christ. But they think that it's induced into their body, and it becomes receiving the body and the blood of the Lord. But that's not what this is actually trying to tell us. We know that the Bible says salvation is clearly by faith. In fact, it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not even religious works. In other words, salvation is purely when we come to a place where we understand that we are sinners, we have a sin nature that we can't get shed of. We have a debt that we cannot pay. And we have this heavy weight that's been put upon us because we were born with it. It's in the bloodline. And there's one man, and by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. How did we get that? We got that because of Adam and Eve. And because of Adam and Eve, we've inherited a sin nature that we cannot get rid of, no matter how good we are, no matter what we do, whether it be religious or moral. Instead, the only way for us to find salvation is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it's very important that we understand it's not by religious things, it's not by good works, it's not by anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All right, so with that, it's very important that we see it's only by His shed blood and His broken body that we have this great inheritance and this great opportunity to be forgiven, to be cleansed, and have our sin nature covered, so that when God looks down on us, He no longer sees our sinfulness. He sees the blood of His Son. Just like in the Passover, when the Jews were told that they would take the blood and they would put it on the doorpost, and when the death angel passed over, they would see the blood and they would pass over you. And so with that, we have by faith appropriated the blood to our heart, to the lintels of our life. And so now the death angel sees the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. It's very important that we understand that it's not by doing anything religious, whether it be doing baptism or whether it be doing by the Lord's Supper. It's simply by believing in Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected for God's good and our glory, God's glory. All right, so this feast is to be done in remembrance of Him. One of the things that God never wanted the Israelites to forget was that they were delivered from their bondage. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. They were delivered from what they had gotten accustomed to. And by the way, that's how the world is today. We get accustomed to our sin. We get accustomed to our lifestyle. We get accustomed to whatever the environment that we're in. And we can almost endure even if it's miserable. The Israelites were in a miserable situation. They had been brought into a land that really was not theirs. They had been put under great stress. They had been put under great bondage. They had to produce so many bricks a day. And as Moses came on the scene, it got even worse. But how is it that when they got out in the deliverance stage and they got out into the wilderness, they started crying, "I want to go back. I want to go back. At least there we had this and we had that and we had the other." Why is it sometimes we as Christians forget how good we have it? Amen. Whether we're in the wilderness or on our journey to the promised land, God is so good. God is always good. And God is always working in our life. And instead of understanding the fact that God was working even in uncomfortable situations, God was always providing their daily bread. There was manna. Their shoes never wore out. They didn't go through sickness or illness unless God put something on them because of their behavior. And God always took care of them. You know, God is so good. If you get nothing out of what I've said all day long, remember what I said just now. God is so good. Don't ever think God to be evil. God is so good. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's usually where we stop. But verse 17 has a nugget. But God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, we have a theme going on. We have a missions theme going on. That we're missionaries. And the heart for the mission, as we talked about this morning, is to remember the world needs salvation. God wants you to go out. Amen. The blessing comes to you. It's not work. It's not labor. It's love. And as you love the Lord, and as you love people, then you'll find that it's very simple to share Jesus. And the more you share Jesus, the happier you get every time you say His name. On the count of three, I want you to say, Jesus. One, two, three, Jesus. Let's try it again. One, two, three, Jesus. Let's do it one more time. One, two, three, Jesus. Get used to saying that a lot. Put Him in there anywhere you can. Talk about Him all the time. And the more you talk about Him and the more you talk to Him, you'll find out that your relationship with Him is getting sweeter and sweeter all the time. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you just to be saved. It's good that you are, but that's only the beginning. We're practicing for heaven. We're practicing to be ready when we face Him face to face. Wouldn't it be neat and wonderful and glorious for us to get so close to Him on this earth that we beg Him, Lord, take me now. I got to go. You know, one of the sorriest things in all of this life is to want to die and can't. Think about it. To want to die and can't. So sick, so hurting, so painful. I wish I could just die. And somehow or another, we just hang in there. But you know, one day, if you love the Lord, and you love Him so greatly, one day you'll be shouting glory, hallelujah, Lord, take me now. And boom, you're gone and you're in the twinkling of an eye. You're in His presence. God is so good. God is so good. Let me read a couple of scriptures now from the book of Exodus. I want to tie this back over. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 3. It's a long read, so turn there with me. Speak ye all unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, its head, with its legs, and with the pertinence thereof, that means the innards. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be on you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial or a remembrance, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. God is saying now to the Jew, keep this Passover. To the church, He's saying, keep this Passover. And so, as I said this morning, today is the Passover weekend. Yesterday was the first day of Passover. We'll be in a 7-day period of the Passover. Interesting that this time may come at this time, because this is what the Jews are talking about right now, the same thing, about the Passover. And so it's an amazing time in the history of both the church and in Judaism. All right, so it was to be kept, it was to be remembered, and it was not to be forgotten. The blood of Jesus Christ has freed us. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, for by His stripes you're healed. All right, so Jesus in Hebrews is the one sacrifice for sin forever, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. The Jews continually were going through the sacrificial system. Interesting that many people don't know, but the sacrificial system actually ended for Jews when Jesus died on the cross. You would have thought it would have kept on going and just died somewhere. But it died with Jesus. Isn't that an amazing feat? Because now the Passover lamb had been slain. And there was no need for any other Passover lamb per se. Because Jesus is the Passover lamb. Throughout the course of the Bible, God wanted us to know that I am God. I am God. In John's Gospel it says, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. In John chapter 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was in creation with the Father? The Bible says, and God created all things. God in Genesis 1:1 is a plural word. Elohim. And it takes in the entire Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we have the Godhead in creation. We have the Godhead in salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, the Father chooses. And verse 7, it says, the Son redeems. And in verse 13, it says, the Spirit seals. And so what we have in this picture is, I am God. God's never changed. God is God. And now we have God of the New Testament. For God was, it was predestinated before the world was formed that Jesus, God, would die in our place. So that you and I might have deliverance. So you and I might be atoned for. So that you and I might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Let me ask you tonight, are you living the abundant life? If you're living in the mully grubs, then it's because we have dug a hole and it's become a grave. You know, a rut is nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out. We've got down in the muckety muck of life, and we stop looking to God as our source. He says, give us this day our daily bread. That doesn't mean He's going to give us an abundance. It means that every day you'll have enough to go through the day. Because God wants us to live by faith. And if we live by faith, it's not, I'm going to dump on you. Big trains come. Boom, boom, boom. There it is on pots of gold in your front yard. It's today you're going to eat and you're going to live and you're going to have a house. Tomorrow you're going to eat, you're going to live, you're going to have a house. Tomorrow and the next day. God is good all the time. Amen. God is good all the time. He doesn't want you to get to the place where you're self-sufficient. He doesn't want you to get to the place where you have all you need now and you don't need God. Instead, He wants you to remember. Remember me. Remember that I am God. I am your God. I am the God of Israel, and I am the God of the Gentiles. I am the God that brought this whole world into existence, and I'm the God that's still sustaining it. I am God. Make Him God of your life. Make Him Lord of your life. Let Him be King of your life. That means you have to take yourself off the throne and put Jesus on the throne. And allow Him to call the shots in your life. When He calls the shots, life is a lot easier. You see, when I have my plan, and I have a plan every now and then myself, and when I have a plan, and if somebody tries to mess up my plan, I get grouchy. All right? Don't you get that way too? But if you don't have a plan, and somebody asks you to do something, oh yeah, I'll do that. Right? Oh yeah. You see, if we let God give us our plan, it's all going to work out. Amen. But if you want to live with your plan, nobody's going to live with you. Why don't you get on board with God and let God direct your path? God is so good all the time. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's sons that things that I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Here God tells Israel, I want you to tell your sons, and I want you to tell you your sons' sons, in other words, your grandchildren. And don't stop there because your neighbors need to know too. He's God. Jesus is God. And that God is the same God that can help you, is the same God that took Pharaoh to the woodshed about 45 times. Not really, that's a little exaggeration. But I'm sure he felt like it was 45 times by the time that was done. But his misery was short-lived because, you know, sin always has a payday. Sin always has a payday. But God says, don't forget me. Don't forget what I've done. Tell your children. If we have one issue in our lives today, it's that we're not telling our children about God. We're not telling our children how to live their life. We're expecting our children to find out from the schools. We're expecting our children to find out from whatever it is that they do have, whatever device they have. We're expecting our children just to enjoy and pacify themselves while we have a life. But we had those children, and they're our responsibility. We had those children, and now we need to bring them up with the same hope that you and I now know is Jesus is our God and our Lord. It's not fair to them to live your life and have your experience and have your occupations while you let your kids go under somebody else's care. I'm telling you today, your children, tell your children, give your life to your children. Give them a chance. And to your grandchildren when they're gone, they're never gone. They're just out of your house. Amen? My kids, I said, I told you earlier, are in the Dominican Republic. I didn't know what was going on down there until I went down there 2 weeks ago. They drive like lunatics down there. And my kids are just as bad as them. They're darting in and out of the roads, and cars are coming head on. There's lanes, but they're not lanes. There's motorcycles coming all over like kamikazes. I didn't know how to pray for my own kids until I saw it with my own eyes. I said, Jeff, Jill, I love you, but I want to go home. I know how to pray for you now. But I'm telling you, this is a mess down here, not just for the driving. I could just take a whole lot of time to tell you what other kind of messes are going on. But I'm telling you this, God is good. And we need to tell our kids, Jill, our daughter, always wanted to marry a preacher. Why is that? Because she watched her daddy. Amen. She watched her daddy. And she says, I want a man like my daddy. There's no prouder moment in a father's life than for your children to say, I want to be like my daddy. I was talking to a father and son. Nick, are you in here somewhere? No. Is he out here? Okay, well, I was talking to the fireman. And Nick wanted to be like his daddy. He's a fireman. No prouder moment for a daddy than to have his children follow in his footsteps. So give your children something to follow. Amen. Amen? Give your children something to look up to. This is what God's telling them. Don't forget me. Teach their children about me. Well, teach them something wholesome like God. Teach them something wholesome like Jesus. Teach them something that will last them for an eternity. Don't teach them how to get a new Apple. Don't teach them how to have a new device. Don't teach them how to get something. I could name a million different devices. Teach them how to love Jesus. Amen. Teach them how to love Jesus. And this is what God's telling them. He says, tell them I am the Lord. This is what God wants us to know. When John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, and well, not the first time, they had grown up together, they were cousins, but first time recorded in the book of John, in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So now we have moved from the Old Testament Passover time. We move now to the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, that's going to bring into the life of the church. And so God told this world in the Old Testament that He was God. And now Jesus is going to tell us that He is God. That the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. Alright, so the Passover Lamb was sitting with the disciples in the Last Supper. Think about it. They're talking to Jesus like He's never going away. They're understanding what He's saying, but they're not understanding exactly what that meant. They had given everything to go with Jesus. They had walked with Him for 3.5 years. And although they hadn't got it all down yet, they had no idea what lay ahead. That meal that night was the most intimate meal that anybody could ever have. For 12 men at first, then only 11, sat down with God. And the things that I shared with you this morning, Jesus shared with his disciples. Think about that message. Think about the fact that Jesus wanted them to know that before he was gone. Because they needed that information to exist and do the work of the ministry. We need it too. We need to remember. Don't forget. What you have in your heart, share it while it's still hot. When you wake up at 2 in the morning and Jesus is speaking to your heart, don't go back to sleep until you finish what he's got to say. Because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of when Jesus talks to me, about 2 in the morning. You know, I'm dead tired, and all of a sudden I wake up at 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden I just feel the glory of God. And he begins to share things with me. And he begins to tell me the things that warm my heart. And I sit there in bed and say, oh God, may you stay forever. I don't want you to leave. But it only comes for a little time and then he's gone. And he talks quietly. If your life is a big rush, you won't hear his voice. Be still and know that I am God. God speaks quietly. And when he speaks, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And then listen to what he has to say. And the glory of God will fill your heart. In the church, he's given us a couple of illustrations that are very mighty. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye also, as ye drink of it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh and eateth damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, it's a serious thing, the Lord's Supper. And that's why it's really only for the church at this time now. Because people that would take of the Lord's Supper just to be a religious matter have done nothing. They don't know what Jesus' blood has done for them. They don't know what the broken body has done for them. They simply think it's religious. And so when they take this and they take this, they feel good because they're doing something religious. But you know, when you take it, you think about it when you hold the cup. And you look at it, it's red. And it's unfermented, by the way. And you look at it, and you look at that because it represents the pure and spotless blood of Jesus. And you look at that, and you understand that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but he's washed it white as snow. And when I take that, I realize that my sin's covered. And my heart's clean. And my life is new. And every day is fresh with no mistakes in it. And when you take the little bread that is also unleavened, because leaven pictures sin in the Bible, when you take the little unleavened bread, in the Passover it signified they had to get out of there in a hurry. Whew, the bread hadn't had a chance to rise. Well, when we take it too, we got to realize we got to get about the Lord's business in a hurry. And it's the pure work. And it's the pure body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was broken for us. He fulfilled every bit of the law because he was sinless. He was spotless. And he was God. So when we take the Lord's Supper in just a minute, then know this. Jesus is God to the glory of the Father. The Father wanted the Jews to know him. He was Jehovah. And he wanted them to know he was God. But he especially wanted the Jews of the New Testament to know that he was God. Because only God. What can take away my sin? nothing but the blood of Jesus. So he had to have the authority. He had to be God. And he had to die to remove our sin debt. Only the blood and the broken body. So examine yourself before you take it. And ask the Lord to forgive you. And remember every time you take it, God is so good. God is so good. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we are about to take the elements of the Lord's Supper, may we never forget what you've done in giving your Son. Lord, may we make you King of our life. May we set you on the throne of our life. May we make your plans for our life the plan in our life. Father, I thank you for being so good to me, for letting me be here today. I thank you, Lord, for this church and the great life that lays ahead for it and the great hopes. God bless this church, and may every time they take your Lord's Supper, may they think of how good you are and how you've been so good to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.